again. You heard him use that word hope again because he's trying to restore people's hopes because there's that feeling of dread out there. But this is what you must realize. Our only hope is in Jesus. We have to realize that our only hope is in God. When we put our hope in other things, whether it's bank accounts or the economy, we're basing our hope on a foundation that can be moved. Are you with me? The true source of hope is Christ Jesus. And there are simply no hopeless situations because hopeless is not in God's vocabulary. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. There are many different accounts for us this morning that we could look at and see God break through impossible situations. It's just the Bible, it's from beginning to the end. It's just a living account of God's amazing power. But I want to take a look at one and just look at some of the principles from here that can be applied to all of us this morning when we face maybe what seems to be like some hopeless situations. This is the story of Hannah. And in 1 Samuel 1, in the first verse, we introduce Elkanah, which is Hannah's husband, and where he's from and who he's from. But in verse 2 it says, he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Now, we're talking about a culture, and there's still cultures out there today like this, where your children, they are a place of honor. If you have children, the more children you have, the more honor and respect and dignity that you have. And we don't know why Elkanah had two wives, but it is possible that when Hannah did not conceive after a certain length of time, Elkanah took a second wife because having children was considered so important. And verse 3 says, okay, I'm back. There's no hopeless situation. All right. I don't know that how that happened, but verse 3 does say this. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Let's just look at that maybe as a picture of maybe not even pregnancy at this point, but so many of us go through situations where it just feels like it's closed. It's a closed door. It's like it's, you know, the opportunity has passed and there's no hope. It's a closed womb. There's barrenness. It happens in marriages. It happens when we raise children. It happens at work. Sometimes we just feel like we enter a season of barrenness. And for Hannah, her womb was closed. And in verse 6, it says, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. That's all you need, huh? You're already feeling kind of down. And then you've got someone frustrating you even more. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So first of all, Hannah was already depressed and feeling hopeless. But add to that what Peninnah was doing. And maybe this is relevant for us. Is there someone in your life that seems to provoke you, even provoke you to anger? Maybe we have those people in our lives or situations that, I mean, they just bother us to the point of, what do? Two things normally. First thing is we react. If someone provokes us, we just want to just react. The other thing we like to do is retaliate. If someone provokes us enough, they're going to get, you know, a little bit back. they, you know, it's a natural thing for us sometimes when we're just living life and we're not being intentional about our walk with Christ to react and to retaliate. And this is when we need to turn it over to God, like we're going to see Hannah doing. She's being provoked. She's being frustrated. And she turns it over to God. A lot of times we turn it over to other people. I love that saying, don't take it to the phone, take it to the throne. Because when someone, you know, really hurts us, we want to take it to someone else. And I love what Hannah does here. All she does is cry. And she's going to the depths of her soul. And we're going to see in just a moment how she just pours it out to the Lord. She doesn't react. She doesn't retaliate. She goes right to her Abba Father. And this is something that we've got to really get down pretty good. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray for those who persecute us? Pray for our enemies. Paul said the same thing in Romans 12:14. He said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And Hannah, what she does is she just weeps. And verse 8, it says, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Elkanah, you're acting like a jerk right here. Wouldn't you say that? What is that all about? I mean, here she is. She can't have a baby. He's not being too sensitive right here. Would you say that? Can you see that? He's not being the most sensitive guy right here. And I even think that's a lesson for us guys right here. Sometimes we are simply not sensitive to the feelings and the needs of our wives and children. Now, wives, don't poke your husbands right now. He's talking to you. No. But the truth is, he really isn't being too sensitive right here. He's being truthful. He's saying, I'm, you know, God has given me this authority, and I've, you know, but by saying, aren't I more important to you? He's not really being sensitive to what she's been feeling. She wants to have a baby so badly. In her culture, she needs to have this baby, and she wants a baby, and he's just not being too considerate. Peter told husbands, he told us in 1 Peter. Be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Guys, even as we enter this 40 days of prayer and fasting, we just learn right here what hinders our prayers. What is it? It's when we're not considerate of our wives and not sensitive to our wives. And I want to just encourage you guys, let's learn to be more sensitive and more considerate of our wives and our children and those around us, their feelings and their needs. And we have to learn this. And verse 9 says, once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, I mean, this is her anguish she's feeling. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, the priest, he observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Woman, get rid of your wine.
Another sensitive guy. Yeah? I mean, here she's crying and she's downcast, and he's like, woo, you know, get rid of your wine, lady. And Hannah replies, not so, my lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Now listen, I believe this is sweet aroma to the ears of our Heavenly Father when we say, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I believe that this is what is so pleasing. We can see this throughout Scripture. When we posture our heart in a way to where we realize that God is all we have and God is all we need, and we come to that place where we just pour out our soul to the Lord is pleased. And in verse 16, she says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away. She went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She had a glimmer of hope. She had a word of encouragement from Eli. And I'm telling you, everybody, especially, and more so as the day gets closer to our Christ appearing, we need each other. We need each other for encouragement. I'm telling you this as a fact. We need each other. We need each other to spur one another to good deeds, as the writer to the Hebrews says. We need each other to encourage each other, because the life around us and the enemy is going to try to tear us down. And we need each other to just have this glimmer of hope like Hannah received. And in verse 19, it says, early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Listen, the Lord never forgets. He doesn't forget what you go through. He sees every tear you cry. His eye is on the sparrow, Jesus said. And if his eye is on the sparrow, surely his eyes are on you. He cares enough about every single bird that falls. He cares about you. He knows every hair on your head. They're numbered. That's how much of a detail he has over your life. And this morning, you may not feel like God has that kind of detail on your life, because the enemy would speak mistruth into your life and would persuade you to believe that you're on this journey yourself. But listen, just as it did for Hannah, the Lord remembers you. Let's get to that place like Hannah did, where we can just pour out our soul to the Lord. And our prayers are not just perfunctory. They're not just, you know, the rituals that we do. Lord, you know, bless so-and-so, bless the missionaries in India. And, you know what I mean? We've got to get to the place where our prayers are real. They're not religious. Oh, Lord, you know, we don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. Just talk to him the way you would talk to your close friend and pour out your soul to him and say, Lord, this is what's going on. And I guarantee you, the Scripture is not going to return void in your life. He will remember you too, because there are no hopeless situations, just people that give up too soon. There are no hopeless situations, because hopeless is not in God's vocabulary. It's not in God's litany of things he says to his people. The truth is, God specializes in the impossible. That's where God does his greatest work, in impossible situations, like Red Seas that need to be parted, like resurrections. God specializes in the impossible. And as we learn to posture our hearts and positions ourselves in such a way to where we lean on him for understanding and acknowledge him in all of our ways, God is going to direct our paths. That was said by the wisest man in the world, Solomon, in Proverbs 3:5-6.
He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all of your ways, and he's going to make your paths straight. What is the name of your hopeless situation? We're going to go to this next slide, and I'm just going to ask you if you would just say a name, and it might be a person that needs the Lord's salvation and that maybe had a closed door in this area. It might be a situation. It might be a health-related thing. But I'm going to, Mindy, would you help me with this microphone? And we're just going to go around, spend a few moments, and we're going to write these things down. And can we get this mic live? All right. And then we're going to also email these things out to you if in case you don't write it down, just so you have some specific things that you can be praying about. But if you would just take a moment right now and just think about what might be considered, maybe it's not even completely hopeless, there's a glimmer of hope, but you want prayer during these 40 days for this specific name. Who would like to go first? It's always hard getting this thing started. All right, Jeff.
My mother, Joan.
Joan, okay. Great.
My son, Derek.
Derek,
My daughter, Rachel.
Rachel.
My daughter, Tanisha.
Tanisha? Let's spell this right. How does it spell, Tammy? Is it right? Okay. Good job, Doug.
My wife, Annie.
Annie.
My brother, Nestor.
What's his name, Evelyn?
Nestor.
Nestor?
My sister, Debbie.
Debbie.
Lisa and Luke.
Lisa and Luke, okay. It can be beyond names, too. It can be situations. In fact, prayer in schools. I mean, just our school system. Doug, why don't you write that up there, our public school system. It almost seems for many of us, you know, with this infiltration of liberalism and secularism, I can't even say that word, that it's just, man, it's almost like a hopeless situation. Chris.
Daughter Barbara and couple Beth and Alan.
Beth and Alan. And what was the first one?
Barbara.
Barbara.
Daughter.
He's got it. All right. Good.
Our daughter, Sarah.
Sarah.
Sabrina and Tony.
Sabrina and Tony. Up here, too, with Kim.
Finances.
Francis?
Finances.
Finances, okay. There's a Francis out there, too, that needs prayer. Yeah, finances.
Lori's health.
Lori's health, okay.
Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Uncle Paul and Auntie Leslie.
Paul and Leslie, all right. You guys are going to have to stop. I'm getting choked up up here.
Our daughter, Tina.
Tina, yeah.
My friend Audrey.
Audrey.
Our son Gavin.
Gavin, yeah.
Our son Tyler.
Tyler.
Indecision.
Indecision.
Pray for Sandy's health.
Oh, Sandy's health. Someone else. Up here, maybe with Dick.
Lynn's health.
Lynn's health, yeah.
For God's power in the church.
Say it again, Lori.
God's power in the church.
God's power in church. I'm going to add to this, too, a permanent place for us to, well, semi-permanent place for us to meet until we can get land and build, but we need a location. Chris.
Two son-in-law's jobs.
Say it again, Chris.
Two of her son-in-law's jobs.
Okay.
Jobs for them.
Evelyn.
Friendship falling out.
Okay.
Steady work.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's mental health.
Okay, Jackie's. What's his name, Jackie?
Gene.
Gene's mental health. All right. A couple of more. Anyone? Okay, Barbara.
For Karen and my son-in-law, Michael.
Okay, Karen and Michael. Anyone else? One more? Lynn.
My mom, Clarice.
Clarice. Now, when you look at the screen, attached to every one of these, what might seem like hopeless situations, attached to even this are the burdens sometimes that we have for these people and for these situations. And because we pray and we pray and we pray. And this morning, God wants to give you not only a glimmer of hope, but truly he wants you to realize that he remembers and he cares. And he is a God that doesn't have that word hopeless in his vocabulary. Doug, will you email these names out? These are the needs that we have. And then you can feel free to email back and reply and add to it. But we're going to spend 40 days of prayer and fasting praying for these names and these situations. And I'm also praying for whatever else God lays in our church to pray for. But let's close right now just by, maybe if you'd even extend your hands toward this screen while it's fresh in all of our minds. And let's just pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, as we close, Lord, we are closing, Lord, knowing that just we're reminded, Lord, the truth, Lord, that there are no hopeless causes. We know that, Lord, even though sometimes it seems like a certain person is a hopeless cause or a certain situation is hopeless. No, Lord, we are armed with the truth this morning, Lord, that there are no hopeless situations. And right now, Lord, for every single name, Lord, on the screen, Lord, for every situation, Lord. We are believing you, Lord, by the power of your blood to see results and victory, Lord. And we're not going to put any time frame on it, Lord, because your timing is so much different than our timing, Lord, because we know that you are at work behind the scenes doing things that we can never even imagine or realize, Lord. But right now, Lord, we are increasing our faith, Lord, to believe for all of these situations, Lord. For finances, Lord, for indecision, Lord. We know that you are a God of clarity, Lord. For health-related things, Lord. For people on the screen, Lord, that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord. For people that need your healing touch, Lord, we're believing you, Lord, because we know that hopeless is not in your vocabulary. And we're looking to you right now, Lord Jesus, for help, Lord, and for comfort. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together, Kim. I think Kim has a word of encouragement for us, Randy, before we begin. Yes.
God just gave me a song, and I really wanted to share it.
Okay, let's do it. Turn around, Jim.
Okay. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the bright and morning star, King of all creation, Lord of all we are. His name is Jesus. Jesus, he is the Lord. And I will worship you forever. I will praise your name forever. I'm singing of your love and forever worship you. worship you. Forever I will praise your name. Forever singing of your love. And forever worship you. When Judah sang your praise in battle, the enemy couldn't stand. When believers lift up your name, you lift up your hand. Your name is Jesus. Jesus, you are the Lord. And I will worship you forever. I will praise your name forever, singing of your love, and forever worship you. And I will worship you forever. I will praise your name forever, singing of your love, and forever worship you. Worship you, I will worship you.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we close, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for Kim's courage, Lord. You put a new song in her heart, Lord, and she had the courage, Lord, to share it with us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that affirmation of faith, Lord. Lord, you are the King of Judah, Lord. There is no armies that can come against you, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are the living God. And we too, Lord, we worship you for this, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus, for this. Your name is Jesus, Lord. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this, can we? Take me to that place, Lord. To that secret place where I can be with you. And you can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.